of God. And it says here in Isaiah 46 and 9, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me." Now watch this, declaring the end from the beginning. Nobody else can do that. From one end of eternity to the other, before he ever started, he said, "This is what the end's going to be." And everything it took to get to that end, he purposed from here to there. "And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel, my will, my purpose, my decree shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Let me tell you give a little bit of my own testimony. Years ago, when I was a very young man, God began to teach me some things. And I remember I sitting up on the hill behind our house. We live right in the middle of a big bunch of woods, 70-something acres. And I was up on the hill behind the house, squirrel hunting, and very troubled about some things. And I was sitting there, and I had a Bible with me, and I got it out, and I was sitting on a stump, and I was reading that scriptures. And I said, "Oh, God, teach me, teach me." And God gave me a verse of scripture out of 2 Timothy 1:9. "God who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling." And I was concerned about holiness and works, what part they have in salvation. And it says, "God who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Light come on. I learned right then and there that everything God did, he did on purpose. And my life began to change. It just is an upheaval. And it was a long time getting there. For me, it was. But in God's time, it was a short time. But I began to search the scriptures in light of God doing things on purpose. And I come to find out that everything that's ever been done in all of time is done on purpose. I was saved on purpose. You're saved on purpose. The sun rises every morning by the purpose of God. I was born where I was on the purpose of God. My name's Donald Bell because it's the name God gave me from eternity. That's the only reason my name's what it is. It could have been anything. But all beloved, when we talk about things happening in our lives, we sometimes call them accidents, call them chance, luck. But everything that happens in time, regardless of what we call them, is nothing but the working out of God's eternal purpose. That's all it is. And there's three things that we do not allow in our congregations, allow in our services. Because we believe in God's sovereign providence, God's sovereign purpose. Everything that happens was purposed in eternity. We don't allow lady luck. We don't want Mother Nature. We ain't going to allow her in. And we certainly ain't going to allow misfortune in either. We ain't going to do that. And when we talk about decrees or the purpose, when God talks about decree, it's singular. It's singular. Purpose is singular. And all this means is God's purpose or determination respecting future things. Now everything to us is future. The next minute is future. The rest of the day is future. Our lives are future. But to everything to God, beloved, it is determination or purpose is respecting future things. But when the Scripture speaks of God's decree, it's one. You know, to them that are called according to His purpose. according to his eternal purpose, which was in Christ Jesus. It doesn't never say his purposes. Doesn't never say his wills. It's all one. It's all one. And when we talk of his decrees, we use the plural because we don't see the whole. We can't see the whole. We see them carried out in time, just a little bit at a time. But beloved, God doesn't require a distinct purpose for everything that happens. He doesn't. No, no. God doesn't need or doesn't take one step at a time the way you and I have to do. He doesn't have to stop and figure out what to do next. He has no contingency plans. You know, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world, is what Acts 15:18 says. And all that God's decrees are called his counsel. Why are they called his counsel? That's what he says, my counsel shall stand. God's decrees are called his counsel for they're wise. Wise. They're called his will for he is under no control. Who controls him? And he acts according to his own pleasure. It's called his determinate counsel and foreknowledge. Look over here in Isaiah 14:27. And I love to talk of God these ways. I just do. I just delight in it. You know, I talk about God's will and somebody being sick. I don't know how many times I've heard say that people say, well, it's not God's will for you to go through this. Not God's will for you. If it ain't, whose is it? If it ain't, whose is it? If there ain't anything in God's will, it ain't going to happen. You know, we got a dear lady in our congregation now. She's on her fourth round of cancer. She's got leukemia now that's chemically induced from all the other chemotherapy she's taken over the years. They gave her a certain time to live. And him and her both are just, they're at rest, they're at peace. You know, this is God's will, this is God's purpose, and we ain't fixing to kick against it. Talking about Rupert Rothenbach. His daughter committed suicide. Got up to take care of her funeral. You know what the first thing to come out of his mouth? He said, Father, we're here to kiss the hand of your providence. I'm not mad at you. It's what sin does. If it hadn't been for your grace, I'd go crazy over there. But we're here to kiss your hand of providence. And we bless you. I'm thank you for the time that I had. And oh, look here in Isaiah 14:27. He's talking about God's purpose. He says this, for the Lord of hosts hath purposed it. Who's going to disannul it? Who's going to say, this ain't going to happen? You may annul a marriage, but you ain't going to disannul God's purpose. And his hand is stretched out. Who's going to turn it back? Who's going to do that? Oh, beloved, so his decrees are called his counsel for their wise. They're called his will because he's under no control and he acts according to his own good pleasure. And the decrees of God relate to all future things without exception, without exception. Whatever is done in time was foreordained before time ever began. Whether great or whether small, whether good or whether evil. And it reaches to all creatures, all events, life or death. Our state in this time and our state in eternity. Ain't that what it says? For whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate. Them he predestinated, what does it say, called? Them he called, he also justified. Whom he justified, he also glorified. Every bit of that's in the past tense.
That's right. Amen.
You know why? Because everything as far as God's concerned is done. The end's already here. We just got, it ain't here for us yet. Ain't that right?
That's right.
Oh, that's why he says the children, not yet being born, having done neither good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. Not of works, but of him that called. He said, the elder shall serve the younger. What shall we say then, when it is written that God loved Jacob and hated Esau? What are we going to say? It's not of him that wills, not of him that calleth, but of God that shows mercy. Oh, look over in Isaiah. Yeah, we're in 45. We're in 46. Look here in Isaiah 45:27. I believe that's 45:7. Excuse me, 45:7, not 27. Look what it says here. This throws a sprag in Armenian's wheels, boy. I form the light. I create darkness. I make peace. And I create evil. How the Lord do all these things? Just let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. You know, if a honky-tonk down home, they call them honky-tonks, juke joints. And if a honky-tonk or a juke joint gets burned down or something, everybody said, "Oh, God burnt that place down. Oh, we're so thankful God put the devil out of business." Church catches on fire, it burns down. They say, "Oh, God let the devil destroy it. God, the devil does the bad, God does the good." But oh my, God does them both. God does them both. Which one's got the most power, God or the devil? Oh my. God didn't create, then walk off and leave his creation to wander aimlessly. He set the bounds of man. He said, "You got this much time on earth, and this is all the time you got." Huh? Henry Mahan, when his son got killed in Vietnam back in 1969, person come up to him and says, "Boy, it's a shame, Henry, that your son got killed so much before his time." And what Henry said was this. He said he had every minute, every moment of time that God gave him, every bit of it. He said he didn't die before his time. Didn't die at all before his time. He had every day that God ever gave. Yeah. And all, beloved, he set the bounds of man. He set the bounds of nations. How many nations have come and gone? Rome with its great empire. Greece with its great empire. Babylon with its great empire. Nebuchadnezzar with his great empire. All the empires. And America's got its time and it'll go down. Everything, every nation, he gives the bounds of the nations. He raises up kings and sets down kings. And all, beloved, and he sets the bounds of creation itself. He says this about creation: the elements shall soon melt with a fervent heat, and God himself shall create a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. This earth here has got a time set for it, but it's going to be destroyed. And he says our days are numbered. And I tell you, I'm going to preach a message on this verse soon and hope. He says that he numbers the hairs of your head. Every time I run a comb through my head, there's more of them, less of them than there was before. I can't count them that's in the comb. He counts every one of them on your head. That just shows us how he takes an interest in it. That if he cares for the least things, what about the great things? Huh? And all a sparrow shall not fall to the ground. Where we live, we just got birds. Oh, we got every kind of bird. They get in our bird bath and they just flop around. And we got yellow ones, blue ones, red-headed ones, black ones. They got every kind of bird. And we got all these nests in all of our trees and bushes all over the yard. And just every morning, boy, here comes them little sparrows. Down to the ground. And every time they get down there, I say, "That fella got down there because God put him right there." That's what it means. It don't mean he's flying along. He dropped. That means when they drop to the ground to get something to eat. When they drop to the ground to get something to make a nest out of. When they get to the ground to take something back to feed to their babies. God put him down there. He had the food right where he's at. Huh? And if God takes care of that which is least, how much will he take care of you, which he loves? Oh, beloved. God fixed everything in time. For everything and everyone from all of eternity. And what assurance. What comfort. Huh? And oh, beloved, God's decree is eternal. It's eternal. He doesn't take life like we do. A day at a time. A day at a time. That's the way we take it. A day at a time. Sometimes an hour at a time. I need thee, precious Savior. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. And oh, beloved, we need him, but his decree is eternal. He doesn't take life like we do. And if he has to change anything at any time, that means that there was a flaw in his wisdom. That means that he was a flaw in his power. That means there was a flaw in what he purposed from all eternity. He has to back up and say, oh, I goofed up. I goofed up. Huh? It would be to say that God's knowledge is limited. He knew everything but this one thing. Oh, God's understanding, beloved, it comprehends the past, it comprehends the present, it comprehends the future. But all we can comprehend is what we remember from the past and what's going on right now. We don't have a clue what's going to be tomorrow. And I'll tell you what He done for me and you. He foretold our future before we ever were. And He's brought it to pass. He's brought it to pass. How's come you wasn't born in Africa? How's come you wasn't born a Catholic? And you may have been. God saved you from it. How's come that you're not... Why are you not here and not someplace else? Why are you not an Armenian? Why do you not got both fists raised up and facing God's face right now? And there was a time that we did. But our future was foretold. And He brought it to pass. He formed us in our mother's womb and brought us forth. And His purpose towards us. Ain't that right? I quoted to you. God who has saved us. That's in the past tense. That's in the past tense. I mean, you know, and this is amazing to me that everything God does is in the past tense. As far as God was concerned, I saved from all eternity. But as far as I was concerned, I saved in time. Why was I saved in time? Because God purposed for me to be saved. He gave me grace in Christ before the world ever began. And why did He do that? Because it was His purpose to do it. According as He had chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Why? That we should be holy without blame. Why? In love He predestinated us to the adoption of children. Why? According to the good pleasure of His will. Huh? Oh, bless His name. You know, we're not here on accident. Oh, we know what, then here's what we do know. We know what we were without God, and we know what men will do without God. I can predict what my children are going to do. I can predict what the world's going to do. I can predict what people's going to do. You can predict what a politician's going to do. You can predict what's going to happen. Because man in his fallen state, he's going to do exactly what fallen men do. Lie, steal, cheat. The end justifies the means, and they'll say anything to clear themselves before other men. Huh? When they got Christ in their hands, Christ, they were just doing what God determined before it to be done. But they done what they wanted to do, and God didn't make them do a thing. He just left them to do their own will. Huh? Not only are God's wills decree eternal, but God's will decrees are wise. His decree are wise. Look with me at Psalm 104. They're wise. Oh, the wisdom of God. Psalm 104. I am, me and Bruce Crabtree years ago, I've known Bruce Crabtree since 1976. He was a free will Baptist and I was a tongue-speaking Pentecostal. I jumped benches and he had just started hallelujah. And God began to teach us the gospel at the same time. And me and him would talk for hours and hours and hours about these things. I remember him and I talking about God's decree. Did He decree everything or what did He not decree? We just wondered and pondered these things and prayed about these things, and God brought us along teaching us the gospel at the same time. And we come to the conclusion, if God didn't decree everything, we're in a mess. We're hurting. We're hurting. What did He leave out? If He left something out of His decree or His purpose, it may be me. It may be my salvation. Now, and look what it says here in Psalm 104. In verse 24, O Lord, how manifold, how great, how many are Thy works. In wisdom hast Thou made them all. The earth is full of Thy riches. So His decrees are not only eternal, but they're wise. They're wise. You know, His decree respecting the fall and our salvation by grace, how wise. That's why Christ is called the wisdom of God. And let me just throw this statement out to you. If you ever understand and see that Christ is the wisdom of God, how that by Christ God can be just and justifier, you'll know the gospel. If you ever learn that, how Christ is the wisdom of God, that God can be just and justify us through Him, you'll understand the gospel. You know, His decree respecting the fall and our salvation by grace. Without the fall, what would we know about God? What would we know? We'd know two things. We'd know Him just as the Creator and only as a just God. We wouldn't know anything about love. We'd know anything about grace. We'd know anything about truth. We'd know anything about righteousness. We'd know anything about mercy. We'd know anything about His patience. We'd know anything about His long-suffering. We'd know anything about anything but Creator and just as He drove us out of the garden. And in Christ, beloved, He told out all of His attributes. Christ came, and there we see God as Creator. He made all things by Him. We see also His grace. We see His love. We see His truth. We see His righteousness. We see His power. We see His wisdom. We see His love. We see His mercy. All told out. We see His justice. We see His right. Everything told out in Christ on the cross. I remember years and years ago, I read in the Scriptures, there in Genesis, where God kept Abimelech. Maybe you all read this, where God kept Abimelech back from sin against him when Abraham went down was it Egypt? Well, anyway, Abimelech, he got down there and he told old Abimelech, and when he got down, he said, Sarah was so good looking. He said, whatever you say, you're my sister, because they're going to kill me and take you. Hell, what a selfish, sorry rat he was. But yeah, he was God's elect. And when you read the New Testament, you read by Abraham, faith. We're the children of Abraham. But anyway, God said, told Abimelech, I kept you back from sinning against me. I read that, and I thought, oh my goodness. If He kept Abimelech back from sinning against Him, why didn't He keep Adam back from sinning against Him? To keep us from getting in the mess we're in now. And I pondered that and pondered that and pondered that. I was afraid to mention it to anybody. I thought, man, people, they'll think I'm an infidel, you know, questioning God. And I pondered that and pondered that. And one day I was sitting in a wooden swing, swinging under a tree. Sitting in a big old wooden swing, swinging under a tree. And it dawned on me. Had not God, if He had kept Adam back from sinning against Him, then we'd have lived and we would all been subject to a fall sooner or later. But by purposing, and I'm going to say this without a shadow of a doubt, without purposing the fall of Adam, because see, Christ was the Savior before there was ever a sinner. Amen. Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Before Adam ever fell, God had the remedy for his fall. Is that not right? So God, and He let Adam do what he would, but yet, beloved, He had the Savior before the sinner. This is what I said. If Adam hadn't have failed, then I wouldn't know Christ. I wouldn't know grace. I wouldn't know love. I wouldn't know truth. I wouldn't have a righteousness. In Adam, I'd have had just his righteousness. In Christ, I have the righteousness of God. In Adam, I'd be subject to fall again. In Christ, I'll never fall. Right? And so you can go on and on and on. And that just put my mind at rest. God, now I say, Lord, keep me back from sinning against you. Do me like you did Abimelech. Don't let me sin against you. And oh, beloved, He is wise. And what about Joseph? Here's one of His decrees regarding Joseph being sold into slavery. Remember Joseph sold into slavery? Boy, his brother. So let's look at it in Genesis 49. Look at Genesis 49. And this is a perfect picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. His brothers hated Him. They just hated Him. Why? Because the Father loved Him. Just because the Father loved Him. They hated Christ. Why? Because the Father loved Him. He manifested the Father. And His brethren hated Him. And they were going to kill Him, but they saw, well, we can get some money out of Him. Just like Judas did. I can get some money out of him. And so they sold him, and he went down into Egypt, spent 7 years in prison. God raised him up, set him there on the throne over Egypt. Everybody had to bow down. You got bread, you had to go to Joseph. You got anything, you had to go to Joseph. Well, all of a sudden, his brethren, they got in a great, great strait. Now, they didn't know, his brethren did not know Joseph. There's the one that hated him, there's the one that sold him. We hated Christ, we did not know him. But oh, one day, they's all standing there in front of him, he said, I am Joseph. Scared of him, he totally dissed. He's going to get even with us now. He's going to get even with us now. He's going to destroy us for sure. And that's what we think sometimes. And look what it says. It says in verse 18, and his brethren, Genesis 50. Verse 18, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Why? For to bring to pass that it is this day to save much people alive. And thus God took the wrath of his brethren, the wrath of Potiphar, and brought it, took that wrath of men and used it to praise him and raise his son up. And the wrath of man was a gift. God made the wrath of man to praise him when his son hung on that cross to save much. We meant it evil, but God meant it for good. Man meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. The wrath of man shall praise him, beloved, because all that they purpose to do against Christ, look at the multitude that no man can number. A multitude, 10,000 times 10,000 are saved by the death of Christ. Oh my, we meant it for evil, but God meant to save many people alive. Oh, the wisdom of God. And not only are they eternal and they're wise, but they're free. They're free. What I mean is that there's nothing that coerced him. Nothing that coerced him. Look over in Isaiah 40, verse 13, just a moment. God was alone when he made his decrees. Nothing, absolutely nothing influenced his determination. Then you have to sit down and figure out the best way. And a lot of times the best way is not the right way or the good way. That's one thing my wife tells me all the time. She said, stop and think before you do something. Oh, if I stopped and thought, I would never get it done. I'd think about it once. I just believe I'll put that off. I was doing something the other day. I forget what it was now. But it was, when it was said and done, it was one of the stupidest, dumbest things anybody could do. And my wife stood there and looked at me and said, you know better now. I said, I did. But you didn't have to come rub it in. You don't have to come rub it in. But oh, his decrees was uninfluenced by his determination. Look here now in Isaiah 40:13. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? Oh. Or being his counselor taught him, now this is the best way to do it. Go this way, go that way, do it this way, do it that way. There was a fella over in England what's that guy that took Lloyd Jones's place at Westminster? Went to Henry's for years. Anyway, he had a Pentecostal come in there. And Pentecostal got up and he was preaching. And Henry showed me this tape. I sat and watched it myself and he couldn't hardly believe it, that he had had him in his pulpit doing this. But he says, God told me that if I could get 300 prayer warriors, that he would rearrange things in heaven. If I could just get 300 prayer warriors, And they give so much money. Now, it takes money. God would rearrange things in heaven. Well, what does that say right there? Who had directed the Spirit of the Lord? Who had been his counselor? Oh, I'm sure God had come told him what he was going to do. Oh, Jimmy Swagger, you say, wait a minute, Lord, I'm busy. I got to tell these folks this before you tell me that. Oh, and look, it says in verse 14, with whom took he counsel? And who instructed him? And taught him in the path of judgment? Who taught him knowledge? Who showed to him the way of understanding? Who did? Who did? The president and all these fellows running, they got all kinds of counselors. They got one for foreign affairs, one for finances. They got them for everything. But God never had anybody sit down with and said, now, which is, help me figure this out. I need to know what to do in this situation. He was free to decree or not to decree. He could decree one thing and not another. And all it amounts to, God is independent and sovereign in all of His dealings in this world. And I love it like that. I do. And they're not only free and eternal and wise, but they're absolute and unconditional. Now you think about this. God's decrees, God's purpose, are not dependent upon any condition being met or any work being performed. Nothing. It ain't this I will if you do. Huh? God will if you'll let Him. God will if you'll allow Him. God would love to do this. God would like to do that. And then God wants to do this and God wants to do that other thing. Will you let God in your heart? Would you let God have His way with you? And they say that old song, let go and let God. Let go and let what? Huh? Don't allow God Almighty to do anything. There was a fella, I've had so many guys come by the church and men and women come by and we're put those newspaper articles, and one day I was sitting in my study and boom, 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 banged at the door and hollered, come in. Big old guy come in, bigger than Norm. He pulled something out of his pocket and he said, did you write this? I said, well, what is it? I don't know if I did or not. I said, what is it? He said, you said here God doesn't love everybody. And that Christ only died for His elect. He said, did you write that? I said, I did. He said, do you believe it? I said, I do. He said, well, a woman in our church read that and said, if that's the way God is, he said, I ain't never going to go to church again. And I ain't never going to hear anybody else or preach again. He said, do you know what you done to that woman? I said, I didn't do anything to her. He said, I don't believe you're saved. And I said, so what? I said, you think that? I ain't going to take a baby aspirin because you don't think I'm saved. That ain't got nothing to do with anything. What people think of us don't absolutely amount to nothing. Does it when it's all said and done. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, when I let Jesus in my heart, and I said, when did you do that and how did you do it? He said, what do you mean when and how? He said, didn't you? And I said, no, sir, I didn't. He said, you're not saved then. I said, well, how do you go about letting Jesus in your heart? How do you open it? How does that happen? How do you go about letting Jesus in your heart? How in the world do you do that? Tell me how that's done. And he sat there, just, he left there, come in there ready to fight and left out there like this. But that's the truth. People use these stupid sayings and traditions of men. And God Almighty, if you have to do something in order for God to do something, then you're the one with the power. There's no purpose in God. There's no decrees in God. There's no will in God. The purpose is in you. The will is in you. The power is in you. The condition's in you. So who has the power? Where God has decreed an end, He decreed whatever it took to get to that end. And let you know, I'm not a builder by no stretch of the imagination. But you know, you go out at a building site, we built a new building back a few years ago, and they start bringing the material out there, and they set several big piles of 2x4s, big piles of sheeting here and yonder, and now they let all this material out. There it is, just big stacks. But we had the plans how to take all that and turn it into this.
Yeah.
All this one day was stacked out there. But somebody took all that material and put it all together to set out there, and there's this building out of it. That's what God, you know, that God, before he ever began the building, he said, this is what I want it to be. And he declared the end for the beginning. And he puts it all together. And you know what? When we get to eternity, we won't even know how he done it. You know why? Because it won't make any difference, buddy. All things will be new and old things will be passed away. And that's why, ain't that what we read there a minute ago? That he declared the end from the beginning and from ancient times of things that are not yet done, saying, all my counsel shall stand and I'll do all my purpose. And he decreed the means to that end. Just like, let me show you. Look over here in 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Here's your perfect illustration of it. Just like our salvation. God decreed our salvation, but he also decreed the means. He decreed the means. You know, he ordained that we would believe. That his elect, he decreed salvation for his elect, but he also decreed that they'd be given faith to as many as were ordained to eternal life. What happens? They believed. Look here. Here's a, you know, in verse 13, 2 Thessalonians 2. We're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, you're beloved of the Lord. Now watch this, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. But oh my, how are we going to come to this salvation? Through sanctification of the Spirit. The Spirit's going to set us apart. That's what that word sanctification means. It means to be set apart. And he set us apart from all eternity. That's one of my elect. Our Lord said, I lay down my life for the sheep. I know my sheep and I've known of mine. They said, if you're the Christ, tell us plainly. He said, I've told you, but you believe not. Why not? Because you're not of my sheep. We don't become sheep by believing. We believe because we are sheep.
Amen.
And so here he says, you know, the Spirit sets us aside. And watch this, through the belief of the truth. He's not saved anybody ever apart from the truth and by being set apart by the Holy Spirit. And he decreed that they're going to save his elect, but you're going to do it by faith. You're going to do it through the gospel. You're going to do it through some preacher preaching to you. That's the way he meant to do it. And if we had to meet a condition before God could work out his decree, who has all the power and the wisdom? Who would know what to do? Who would know what to do? What would you do? What? I want you to do something in order for me to save you. Well, what is it? What is it? I'd love to know. And oh, let me tell you this in closing. Let me give you one more thing. His decrees are eternal, wise, free, unconditional. They're absolute. And now let's look at his decree and our responsibility. And here's the way it goes. God said, David, seek ye my face. You know what David said? Thy face I will seek, O Lord. Ain't that the way? God said, seek ye me? What happened? We seek him. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest. Oh, we love election. But at the same time, whom thou causest, comes and brings us to approach unto thee. And that's the way he does us. Seek ye my face. We say, Lord, thy face will I seek. You see, we don't know God's eternal decrees until they already come to pass. You know, we know it in the past tense. Just like this time last year, I had no idea that I'd be in Oregon today. I had no idea that he was thinking of me. I didn't know till he called me and asked me. That was decreed from all eternity, just as sure as God's on his throne. But I didn't know anything about it till he asked me. Ain't that right? And that's why I say we know it in the past tense, but God knows it in the future. God's word is inspired, yet they were written by men, and those men weren't machines. And yet we say this is the word of God. 40 different men over a space of thousands of years wrote things. Isaiah wrote things 700 years before Christ came, and Christ fulfilled them down to the very minutest new detail. Genesis 3:15 tells about Christ coming. Galatians 4 tells exactly how He comes. Through the womb of a woman. Through a woman. The seed of a woman. And then here's an illustration. Christ our Lord is both God. He is God. He knows all things. And yet it says He increased in wisdom. How can that be? How can that be? His decrees and our responsibility. He was almighty. Christ was almighty. Yet He was crucified in weakness. Oh, the great mysteries. All I know is that God's working it out. And He's working it out in us, working it out through us, and working it out in this world. And if God didn't decree all things, let me ask you this. What's the alternative? What's the alternative? What's the alternative? That means everything's left to chance. Blind faith? What's that fellow? I've got it wrote down on my desk who says, you know, no matter how dark the scroll, no matter how filled with damnation or that, he says, you know, I'm the captain of my soul, the master of my fate. Oh, I don't want to be the captain of my soul, the master of my fate. Do you? But all without the decrees of God, we make our own destiny. We are the captain of our own souls. We're master of our own fate if everything's not under the control of God Almighty. And where would our peace be? Where would our peace be? And I know I shouldn't do this, and we all know we shouldn't do it. Just like right now with this election come, I've never been as troubled over our nation as I am right now. I am troubled. I'm like they was in Israel when a wicked king was raised up. And all I see is wickedness. I see darkness just engulfing. It's just coming dark and darker. It's just dark coming around. And there's just little light here and yonder around God's people. But I see this darkness. And you know the only reason I've got peace is because I know that God's will is going to be done. And by His grace, I'll accept it. And whoever becomes president, I'm going to keep my mouth shut about it. I'm not going to belittle them. I'm not going to badmouth them because the Scriptures tell us against that. Pray for them that are in power that we may serve God reverently and in peace. I may not like him, may not agree with him, but oh God, please, please do for our nation. Oh, save our nation. Save our people. Save our people. But where would where would our peace be without the decree and purpose of God? Where would our assurance come from? Where would it come from? And especially, to whom could we flee for refuge in our time of need? Where would we go? Where would we go? If it wasn't for God's purpose and God's decree, we can come to Him and say, Lord, I know this is Your will, and we'll bless You for it. We'll thank You for it. And I'm not mad at you for it. I don't never want to charge God foolishly. Do you? And I have such great peace and assurance. Such peace and assurance. That whatever happens, God Almighty is the one at the reins. He's the one controlling all things. Ordering all things. Decreeing all things. Carrying out all things. And you know, that's why we can, whatever happens in the future, you know, there were lots and lots and lots and lots of people, of God's people. Joseph, when he was in prison, 7 long years, he'd ask them fellas, when you get out of here, will you remember me? But oh my, you never heard him say a thing against God. Not a thing. You say, whoa, my, that just sounds like it's tough. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ, look what He suffered in order to redeem us. All right, God's decree and purpose. Our Father, in the precious, holy, blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You. We bless You and praise You for Your goodness, for Your grace, for Your mercy, for Your purpose. And, O Lord Jesus, we pray that we, within Your sovereign will and grace, always find our assurance and comfort and peace in You. Bless these dear saints. Thank You for the time that we've enjoyed together. Continue to bless our time together. I love them, and I pray that You'd bless our fellowship and encourage us and teach us and instruct us and meet the needs of our heart, and bless the dear saints at home when the preacher comes and the other people, O Lord God, that worship You in spirit and in truth. We bless You. In Christ's name, amen. Let me teach you another course. You want me to?